Going to invite the team up who was in Haiti with us. And while they're coming up, let me provide a little bit of context to some of the work you saw. That's an orphanage called In Jesus' Name, and they moved in last year. And the place they were at before this had, it was much smaller, it's where their school is, and they had a concrete slab that was maybe a third of what this is, and that's where they played soccer. And so in this mountain, literally, we are trying to, it's like trying to pickaxe this floor and move it to level it out. So hopefully by the end of summer, they'll be able to pour a concrete slab and that they'll be able to play soccer. And so they've already named it In Jesus' Name Stadium, and they're super excited about it. And we were able to be the first to start on that project. So it was a tremendous honor. So that gives you a little bit of context of all the work that you saw. So every night at debrief, we'd have meetings and talk about what the next day was going, why we're experiencing what we're experiencing, and they talk about kind of this change circle. But we'd share what we called the picture of the day. So imagine every day you went through and like shut your eyes and you got up in the morning and you walked through your whole day and you go, okay, now what was the one picture that stands out to you? So we did that every single night. And it's a tremendous honor and privilege to hear what God's doing in and through people as they share their pictures. So what we're about to do is share the picture of the week. So we're going to simply pass this microphone around, and you're going to hear everybody's picture of the week. And we're going to start with Cheryl.
My picture of the week was a little girl at Harvest Care named Jessica. And she just initially, when I went, grabbed my hand and just kind of stuck with me most of the day. Well, then the second day we went back, right when I got off the truck, she came over and immediately grabbed my hand. And she just started pulling me through her home and immediately searched out a bin of like hair things because she wanted to go and fix my hair. So I had to try to convince her that we need to go join the group because initially we do like games with the group. And I just thought it was so sweet. And then at the end of that day, she gave me a hug as we were about to leave. And then she... as she's hugging me, she looked up and she said in English, "I love you." And so I looked at her and I said, "I love you too, Jessica." So it was super sweet.
Cheryl, you introduce yourself if you guys don't mind introducing who you are as well. So you already did.
Yeah.
You did.
I'm Maddie. Mine's kind of like yours. I met this little girl named Dora, and there she is. And the second we stepped off the truck, she grabbed my arm. I'm going to start crying. I'm sorry. And it just, I didn't expect to make any connections when I was there with anyone, really. But Dora grabbed my arm, and it was just, that's it. Like, I'm going to stay with her the whole time. And, yeah, that's really it. But that's Dora.
Hi, I'm Jana. My picture of the week would be right when we got there, and we were... in our Tap Taps, they were driving us to the guest house. Just the sheer devastation. It's like you look around and you think, how does anyone live here? It's like there are like people sitting up on top of these huge mounds of buildings that have fallen down, and it's just crazy. And then so as we went through the week, so I think I started out with like some sympathy, like that's so awful that these people have to live here. And then as you go through the week, it's just the pride that they have, and everything that they do is just tremendous. And then like at the children's homes, they have mommies, so it's the female caregivers. And so I was thinking like, wow, I complain about taking care of my four kids, and most of these have like 19 kids that they're taking care of. And like, and you know, the love that they have for them and the pride that they have for like the home that they live in and the clothes that they're washing, the food they're making, is, it's just really impressive. It really is. I mean, you can't come out of there and have feel sorry for them, because you know, this is their life, and, you know, they make the most of what they have, for sure.
I'm Tracy, and as you can see here, I had to put this one up here. But this was my picture of the week. You know, I was a lot like Jan. I expected my picture of the week to be the devastation and the infrastructure, the lack thereof, but the picture that goes over and over my head ever since we've left is this picture right here of all these kids with these balloons. I mean, they are so happy and so joyous and so full of love, and the love of us, the love of God, the love of the people that take care of them. You look at their surroundings, and you think about how much, how happy they are, and then you think about how I complain about my life, and it's like, it's just unbelievable to see the joy. I mean, they're running around with these balloons, and they've got swords they're making out of guns. I mean, they are so happy. And the funny, one little funny thing was, the one little boy had a mask on. He's loaded with all these balloons. He's got these swords. He comes out and he runs up, and Andy's there. Andy picks up this little stick that's about that long and goes like this. And the kid goes, ah! And he screams and runs away. So they're just so full of laughter and love. It's just unbelievable. That's the picture I can't get out of my mind.
I'm Autumn, and my picture of the day had to be at the Haitian church. Kids would just come up to you and grab your hand, and they would just so happy. And you could just see how close to God everyone was at the church.
I'm Brenna, and my picture of the week was how Luke sent at Harvest Care. On the first day, he came up to me and grabbed my hand, and I was like, cool, he'll hang out with me today. And then 2 days later, when we went back to Harvest Care, he runs up to me and gives me a big hug, and that was very impactful for me.
I'm Abby, and my picture of the week was getting to see Christelle again.
I'm Morgan, and my picture of the week was getting to see Fenya again.
I'm Sarah, and my picture of the week was on Sunday when we got to the church. And I felt God speaking to my heart. I had a few little kids come over and sit with me. And I've never been a big kids person, and I don't have kids of my own. So I just felt that God was touching me through these children. And I don't know, I can't even explain what happened that week, but it was definitely a turning point and a big action step that happened with me throughout the week, and that's all I can really say about that.
I'm Craig. I have about 26 pictures of the week, so I'm just going to run them down in order. No, but my picture of the week did come from two different pictures of the day that came back-to-back days that just God was speaking to my heart about two different entirely things that meant so much together. So the first one was we were at Harvest Care, and I was just learning. God was just showing me, we kind of go down, and we were making jokes, and even my wife was making a joke like, you're going to come back with a kid, aren't you? You're going to adopt a kid. And, you know, you think that, like, oh, yeah, I'd love to adopt a kid. I'm going to save them from this environment. And you get there and you realize, like, it would be super selfish to take them from the environment they have, the family that they've created, the joy they experience, the closeness to God they have. Like, they don't need to be rescued from Haiti. Like, they need to be right where they're at with the people that love them so well. So that was just in my mind that day. And just as I woke up the next day, just going, man, they got more than we have. But then throughout that next day, this guy comes rolling into the other orphanage, Jesus' name, with this 55-gallon drum of water. And I don't know how far he came before he got to our gate, but the only place I saw water was down the hill we drove up in trucks. That was like a mountain. It wasn't smooth. Rolling it would be bouncing. So he rolled it all the way up to there, I guess. He comes in, and I choose to help him at that point. I just saw him and was like, oh, that kind of sucks. I'm going to jump in, which he kind of liked, kind of didn't. I was probably more in his way, but I don't know how he does it without help on some of these steps. But that just struck me as, now I get why we're here. Because the first day I'm going, they don't need anything from us. They don't need a thing. Why are we even here? And then that this piece comes along where it goes, they don't need anything inside. They've got it. But man, everything in Haiti is hard. And what would it look like if we could just take a couple of those things, like getting water to the door? Like, they can't even drink that water. That's bad water that he lugged up a mountain and then rolls upstairs and then empties into another drum. They can't even drink it. So there's that much work just to get water. So what would it look like if we could just take a little of that burden off? How much more could they focus on all that they do have? So that was my picture.
I'm Adam. My picture of the week is the Jesus Name Stady, which is stadium in Creole. And that was the little guy that I connected with, Jackinson. We were talking one day, and he went into his, you know, just about soccer players. And we were talking about, like, Ronaldinho and all these Messi and all these great players. And then he goes into his room and comes out. Wish I had my sunglasses. But he comes out with a jersey that has his name across the back. And to know that we're building the field for him to carry out that dream of maybe one day wearing a jersey with his name across the back. So that was my picture of the week.
Well, my picture, I have one and a half, but we're going to get to the half piece in just a second, so prepare yourselves. Was just experiencing the whole week with my wife. I've been to Haiti, like I said, the fifth time, but just struck me as we sat through church, like, you guys get to sit through church every week. And it's over 4 years since I sat with my wife through a whole service. So that for me was great. So that was my picture of the week. Thanks, Anna, for making me cry. And we got sunglasses. Yeah. But things that happen on a mission trip, sometimes you can't explain.
Grab a stool.
So what we're going to do now is dive a little deeper with a few of the team members. Unfortunately, we just don't have the time or the space to interview everybody as we would love to do. That's just the reality of how we do church. And so I don't think you guys, like Haiti, we were at church for 2.5 hours. I mean, we could certainly do that. But we're not. So we're going to just share a few stories. I'm going to ask you a few questions here in just a second, Cheryl. But one of the things we like to do when we come back is share Haiti stories. Because too often, we don't do a great job of this, honestly. We like to do a better job of keeping people up to date of what's going on in Haiti post a trip. But we want to give one Sunday a year completely to Haiti, so that you guys can live that experience through the lens of us a little bit. And we'll talk about other ways you can get involved towards the end. So we're going to start with just a few questions from each individual, and we'll see where time leads us and where else we can go. But Cheryl, this is your second trip. This is your first time you're able to experience it with two of your kids, Autumn and Brenna, who shared their picture of the week. What was it like spending the week with two of your daughters in Haiti?
It was just beautiful to see. Like, 2 years ago when I went, I developed this love for Haiti and have wanted to go back ever since. And so it was really cool to be able to share that with the girls and have them experience it with me. And I had some concerns going in that they would struggle with the heat, that they might complain, that the work would be too hard for them. And they completely proved me wrong. They're over there shaking their heads. They loved the heat. I had to beg them to take breaks. And they were just beautiful with the kids. The kids just took right to them, loved them. They loved the kids. And it was just a beautiful thing to watch.
What would you say to anybody else that has a family and maybe they felt like, man, I'd love to go, but I'm not sure I want my kids to experience this, and they have similar concerns like safety. What would you say to them now having experienced what you've experienced the past week?
I would say just do it. Go. That I actually had the same concerns before I went for the first time. I made excuses like I felt like God was telling me to go, but I made excuses and said, no, my kids are too young. I cannot leave them. It's too expensive. We can't afford it. And God's just provided in all aspects. And if I didn't feel like it was safe for Autumn and Brenna, I never would have had them come with me. You know, after having gone, I knew it was extremely safe for them. And they just, I lost my thought now.
Yeah, that's fine.
But, you know, God provided financially and as far as, like, worrying about the kids being too little, like, the first time I went, Jonas was 2.5. And I was worried about leaving him, even though I knew he was in good, very good hands. But he did awesome, and he was with his dad. So, and I'm glad I listened and obeyed. So I guess I would say just if you feel in your heart like God's asking you to go, just don't make excuses and just go.
Now, Maddie was our adopted daughter for the week, so this was her first experience in Haiti. What surprised you about your experience in Haiti that maybe you weren't expecting?
So you can look up poverty in Haiti, and you'll see a bunch of pictures, and like, oh, yep, that's it. But when you get there, you're just like, whoa, look, like there's trash on the ground. There's all dirt roads. There's people just walking around, little kids, just walking in the middle of the street carrying things. So it's not something that you can look up and be like, hey, that's it. You have to go and experience it for yourself. And it's I was really taken back by everything that I saw.
It was fun to see kind of the growth just personally as you kind of gained confidence in the group and got to know each other. But you talked a lot about, hey, this is something different. This is what I want to take back. So do you mind sharing maybe one or two of those kind of next steps? Like, this is what I'm going to take out of my experience and integrate into my everyday life.
We had a lot of downtime to think to ourselves and pray. And I think what I'm going to take back is praying more often. I'm not really a prayer, I guess you could say. But I will, like, take the time and set time aside for prayer and thanking God and not just asking him for things. So I think just setting time aside for the things that to connect and grow closer to him.
Thank you for sharing that. Tracy comes down with a lot of construction experience, so I knew he would fit in and make our group look really, really well from a work standpoint. So maybe selfishly I invited you for that reason. But he's got a great sense of humor. So from this point forward, he's now known as the Tan Man. So we had a little jingle and everything. Maybe we should have done that one instead of the Skittle one. But Tracy, I appreciate you coming down here. But you mentioned several times that the work wasn't going to be the stretching piece for you. As I just mentioned, you have that skill set. But you were concerned of maybe a little bit about the interaction with kids. Do you mind talking a little bit about that fear and kind of what you experienced that week?
Sure, no problem. With this being my first mission trip, I didn't even know what to expect. And what I thought it was going to be was nothing like what it really was. You know, I pictured that you'd go somewhere, you'd be in this big compound, you'd work there. That's where the kids were. You weren't traveling places. And you just worked the whole time, you know. So I've wanted to go on mission trips before, but I've never had the opportunity. I always had excuses, really, thinking that, you know, I can do the construction, but am I really worthy to go on a mission trip? I always felt inadequate and inept on the spiritual part of my life to actually go to Haiti or any mission trip where I could make the difference. And then after the first day of work, you know, we traveled out to the orphanage, and you do a half a day work, and then the other half was relating with the kids, spending free time with them. And I can remember before we went, I'm thinking, you know, I like to get up early, get started, get to work. And I'm thinking, okay, well, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're eating breakfast, we're doing some quiet time, we're not leaving until 9 o'clock. What are we going to get done today? You know, you're telling me we're going to eat lunch while we're there, and then we're playing with kids. You know, well, it took about 15 minutes of working there to realize why we weren't working all day, starting at 7 a.m. But really, it was more along the lines of having a fear that I wasn't adequate enough, that I was inept to actually make a connection with the kids there, not knowing their needs, not being able to relate with them. They speak a different language. I can't understand them. How am I going to relate? I'm not just going to go up and start hugging on kids. You know, it'd be a little stranger danger with this guy, you know. But the thing was, you get there, you open that door, and the smiles on their faces and the love that pours out of them, you don't even have to worry about connecting with them. They connect with you automatically. You know, you go through the city and you see the devastation. You see my first thought of the whole city was just the poverty. How do these people live like this? And then you get to actually see the kids and realize, man, these kids are beautiful. They're full of love. They're loved by their caregivers. Like Craig said before, they have what they need. And that was never more evident than when we went to church. And when we went to church, it was a special day where the kids were leading the service. And there was a group of five girls that were singing, and this one in particular girl that was leading off, and the love for God that just poured out of her voice was just something that I've never experienced before. You know, you couldn't understand what she was saying, but you could tell how much she loved God and how thankful she was for God. And it's just, you know, it just changed my whole perspective on the whole thing. Obviously, when we went through our pictures day to day, it really changed. When I first got there, you know, being a guy in construction, my whole picture was of the devastation and the lack of services that they need. By the end of the week, I don't even think about that anymore. Right. It's all about those kids and the love and how easy they reached out to me. I left Haiti with way more than I took there, right. That's for sure.
It was fun to watch your progression, just as you related to God in different ways and felt challenged in that spiritual aspect. Do you mind sharing some of the next steps that you shared with us of what you hope to integrate into your everyday life?
Yeah, well, one of those things is actually more quiet time and not just prayer, but a little meditation and trying to listen to God rather than just talk. You know, instead of just pray and saying thank you, and asking, I want to hear what God has to say to me. And this trip really changed my life in that aspect, really trying to listen to what he's got to say to me rather than just thanking him for what he has done, because he has done a lot for me in my life. I mean, I realize, you know, my life where I'm at today really has nothing to do with me. God put me there. And you look at these kids and realize that they're just, you know, it's just circumstance. You know, if they were here, you know, it's a totally different circumstance right. for them that, 'cause they didn't do anything to, you know, an earthquake made these kids orphans, and, you know, they had nothing to do with that. But just the love that they have really has influenced me as to, further my relationships, not only with God, but with my wife and with friends and with church. You know, I've always tried to be a leader in anything I do, except when it comes to church, where I'm a total follower and never felt that I was adequate enough to do anything. And I think this has changed that thought.
It's awesome. I love to hear that kind of stuff. I got plenty of stuff for you to do. Adams, this is your second trip, so it's always fun to hear. You had a great perspective. Like, your first trip is like you had whiplash because you were just kind of looking around, just trying to take it all in. What was different about your experience the second time around?
So similar to Maddie and them and Tracy, not them, but you know, when you first get in Haiti, the culture shock was crazy for me 2 years ago when I first got there. You know, no roads, trash everywhere, goats and cows and pigs walking down the middle of the street. It was just too much for me to handle. So I couldn't really get past that. I couldn't grasp anything besides, you know, like you said, the whiplash effect. Every time we would leave our compound to go to an orphanage, I was, you know, my neck was sore by the end of the week because I couldn't keep up with everything that was happening, you know, around me and just the chaos of Haiti. So this year, you know, I really prayed to try to just take and see past that, to see what it's like to live as a Haitian for a day. You know, Craig said this guy, it was probably a quarter mile at least, I would say, maybe a half mile, that this guy pushed a barrel of water up a mountain. And when we say mountain, I mean potholes that are 2 to 3 feet deep that he's got to maneuver this barrel of water through, you know, something like that. And another story of standing outside of Jesus' Name one day, and we hear this voice, sweet little voice singing a song, coming down the hill, and he's a little 8-year-old boy with 2 buckets, you know, going down to the well. You know, I don't know how far he came down that mountain, but he's got to fill that water bottle up, or those water jugs up, and carry them back up the mountain. So, you know, just looking past, you know, not so much that I feel sorry for that little boy, but man, you know, could I do that? Could I go a half mile down the road to fill up? No, I, you know, me and Andy joked. I'd say, well, half of it, because it's 110 degrees. Half of it I'd already pour on myself. The other half I'd already drink, and I'd get home and give my family a sip of water, and then I'd have to go do it again. So, I mean, just kind of thinking in those regards as to how hard life really is in Haiti, and looking past not just the, you know, the monetary value of poverty, but really thinking and digging deep into, you know, what family life is even like there.
You said several times that, man, you came down with this whole idea. You were going to push yourself and stretch yourself. They had this kind of imagery like most of us live in a green. That's where it's comfortable. We have lots of areas that are red, but they challenge us to live in the yellow, like stretch yourself, put yourself out there. And so Adam had mentioned several times, you're like, yeah, I'm gonna stretch myself. So give us some context of, like, why did you feel like Haiti was the place or this group or that time? And, you know, how you come to that conclusion that I'm going to stretch myself. Right.
So here, it's real easy to come up with excuses. Like Tracy said, you know, well, I just didn't wake up in time, or I got to get to the job. I got to do this. It's 2 feet on the ground and I'm running. We're in Haiti, and I don't think it's so much just the idea of Haiti, but there is more quiet time. There's more structured time. There's more time for you to kind of connect. So I kind of picked up the nickname of Praby being down in Haiti, where, like here, I would probably never, you know, even in our small circle today before church, praying out loud was something that I don't feel adequate, as Tracy brought up, and two, just, you know, or my words, they even mean anything, you know. And Andy made a relation or a comment while we were down there, you know, as I prayed over somebody, and I just doubted it. As soon as I got done praying on the guy, I went to Craig, actually, we were praying at the compound that Back-to-Back has just purchased, and they're getting ready to build a new guest house and all that fun stuff. So I was praying over Brent, who is kind of the Back-to-Back leader down in Haiti. Well, he is the back, not kind of. and you know, Craig, I get done praying, and I walk over by Craig, and Craig goes, dude, I just had the same thought to go pray for Brent, and I look back, and you nailed it. And I said, man, I wish I felt like I nailed it. You know, like, I still didn't think I said the right words as I'm praying over the guy that's getting ready to start all the building, who's worked 4 years, you know, to put this project together. You know, and I'm still doubting myself. So we get back to the compound, and Andy goes, what if Aurora made that prayer, which is my daughter? And I said, man, made it pretty far. I'd be pretty proud. You know, so to think that God's pretty proud, no matter what words I use, you know, he's pretty proud. So that was a stretching moment for me.
Who's got the sunglasses? Thanks for sharing that. Sarah, what I loved about your experience is, like, you're almost a different person when we left than when you got there. But what I appreciated about you is, like, leading up days, weeks before leading up, you had maybe anxiety is not the word you use, but you had apprehension for sure about, I don't know if I should go, and you had all these doubts. Share a little bit about what some of those were and why you had those.
Sure. So leading up to Haiti, I knew I wanted last year, after this moment, I knew I wanted to go to Haiti. I was craving something in my life that I needed to, I needed more from God. And so I was really excited going. Last Sunday that we were actually here at church, I was really excited. On my way to church, I heard a song, Do Something by Matthew West. It's kind of a mission trip song. And it got me really excited. And then just the message we heard that Sunday, I was really excited about going to Haiti. And right after that, I can't pinpoint it exactly when, but I went to work the next day, and I was in a meeting on Tuesday with coworkers, and I was telling them about going, but I said, guys, there is something, I never have fear of traveling. I'm never nervous about traveling, but there is something about this trip that is just, I don't know if this is going to be right for me to go on. And that was that. And all week before going on the trip, I just had this feeling and that I just couldn't get past. And I went to work on that Thursday before we left, started my sales route around 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. And Thursday's a very long day for me. I mean, I know this is all side information, but I usually don't finish my sales route until about then, 6 o'clock that evening. And I called it quits around 4:30, 5 o'clock, and I said, I'm done. I gotta get home. I've gotta pack. I haven't even started packing yet. And we're leaving that night. And so I go home and I start packing, and then my suitcase is overweight, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I've got so much stuff I've got to take. I mean, you have to take sheets and towels and all this stuff, and I thought, oh my gosh, how am I going to get all this stuff to Haiti? And I'm just, still, I had the app, you know, I was still nervous about actually going, and didn't lay down once, didn't sleep, so from, you know, when I got up that morning at about 4 o'clock that morning until, I didn't go to bed until 8:30 on that Friday night, and but you know what? When we landed in Haiti, something completely just went away. That feeling of not wanting to be there was gone, and I knew I was meant to be there. I knew that was the place for me. And actually, I mean, going past the whole week, fast forwarding, I could have, you know, when you at an end of a trip, you think, oh gosh, you know, I need to get back to reality. It's time to go home. It's time to get back ready for work. I could have stayed in Haiti for another couple of weeks because you just feel like you're part. You just feel like you're part of it there. It was just an amazing experience.
What did you learn about yourself and about God that week?
I learned about myself that God has big plans for me. I've had, over the years of just growing up, many losses, you know, devastating moments through family illness, through loss of family members, personal loss of, you know, not having my own children. And God opened my eyes that there's more for me than just, you know, continuing to live in those moments, that I can do more here for other little ones and still be able to go back to Haiti and do things for them as well.
Thanks for sharing. We're going to end with Craig. Craig was fantastic down there. He jumped in everywhere, worked really, really hard. Fit really well with our personalities, which is good, which is why we get along so well, because he puts up with me more than anything. But what did you learn about yourself, Craig? This is a really interesting perspective because this isn't the first time you've been to a third world country. What did you learn about yourself and God that week in Haiti?
Well, one of the first things I learned was just I had a lot of preconceived ideas. Having been to another third world country, like everything was just being weighed against the last trip. And you just think through that lens that you already have. So I had to push through that. Before I get into that, this whole group, everyone up here and everyone that was on this trip, wants desperately for you to see what we saw and feel what we felt. Mm-hmm. That's our goal. So just another thing that popped into my head as they described poverty and what it looks like down there, it was even something I hadn't seen. But we're driving from the airport to the compound where we stayed, and we saw a bike. We didn't get a picture of it, but we saw a motorcycle, like a dirt bike, not a big one, like a typical dirt bike you'd see here that kids play with a family of five on it, And they kind of described the roads. Everybody's everywhere. There's no lines. It's all bumps. And I mean, there's people passing you on both sides half the time. We're passing people. But there's five people, including a baby in someone's arms, on a bike. Just that's life. And we'd here be like, I'm calling 911. They're going to jail. That's negligence. That's child endangerment. That's this and that. And maybe it is, but that was life. That was how it was going to be. And so that's just another little glimpse at just how just real the difference is between where we are and where they are. And that was a realization that God spoke to me just really early on in the trip. Like, hey, you don't know anything about what's going to go on here. Because I came in thinking I knew what to expect, and I did not at all, even having been in a similar situation, so I thought. So he spoke to me a lot, though. I mean, there was just so many different situations where God was just showing me what you think is wrong, what you think is wrong, what I think is right, and get it in your head. So that's kind of the answer to the question.
Yeah. You had some great insight. I think it was the last night. Again, that I hadn't thought of in the way that you kind of verbalized it. You had some great insight about the week about how it relates to Haiti and the things we were experiencing, and you kind of removed that whole idea, which I thought was phenomenal, which is going to be extremely helpful, I think, for everybody listening. Do you remember exactly what that was, or do you need me to tease that up a little more? Okay.
I remember it. Yeah, so I guess it was, I assume it was Tuesday night in our debrief where we all go around and talk about our days, and then there's specific questions they ask of everybody about kind of, you know, what our experience was like, the kind of probing questions. And as people were talking, they were talking about Haiti and how they were hearing from God, which was cool. And I mean, every day we had stories of where God was speaking to us, not just stories of what we saw or what we did, but how our minds were being shifted, and God was speaking to our hearts. And all of a sudden, I was just not in the room anymore. God was just downloading to me just chunks of information, like, you need to get this. And so I thought I was going to say it that night, and I didn't get around to it. I don't know if it was just a lack of boldness or if he had other plans. And I ended up writing it as my letter to myself, which we all write, and it ships to us later next year sometime to kind of capture what we thought on the trip and see it later. All that to say, what he was pouring into me was just this idea, as I wrestled with, man, I hear from you so much, God. Everybody's hearing from you so much. It's so cool. What is it about what we're doing that makes that possible? And he was just like, well, everyone seems to think it's Haiti, but it has nothing to do with Haiti. Everything that I've been speaking to you can be done wherever you are. Haiti is not the key. It took us getting out of our comfort zone, and there's lots of things in Haiti that stir our hearts, but what we did to hear from God was all about what we chose to do each day, which was get up and go to God immediately. It was the first thing we did. Or the second. Some people ate breakfast first, and others of us were up at like 5 a.m. But that was how we started every day, was to go to God. We spoke to him in our quiet time. We did a little devotional that was not much. It was just a couple verses that someone had written for us. We didn't have to do anything. Just read through it, answer a few questions, and pray. And one quick tangent on that is one of the folks on the trip, Crystal, who doesn't get to speak today because she got in, was here for about 10 hours, and then flew back out because travel was so fun. She said, one day I didn't get to my quiet time. I woke up late, I ate breakfast, and then I was just tired, got my bag packed for the trip or for the work day, and she was like, man, my whole day was off. I wasn't seeing things the way I should have. I was grumpy. I was upset. I wasn't on point, and she could all point it back to doing her quiet time. So when she got back from our work day, before dinner, she did her quiet time, and it was like a recalibration. So that's just a quick, tangible example. But furthermore, you know, we started our day with quiet time, but then throughout the day, we prayed multiple times before every meal, before everything we did. If we were going to go do work, we prayed about the work. If we were going to go meet with kids, we prayed about meeting with those kids and invited God to speak. Then we come back, do dinner, and then as a team, as a family of Christ followers, we debriefed. We talked about what God was doing intentionally every day. Every day we came together as a people. We do this in small groups. We do this in our families, hopefully. But I know for me, it was just super convicting. Like, I don't do these things every day, and I wonder why I don't hear from God. Well, if you don't listen to the person that's in front of you, you don't hear them, right? It's impossible. So it was just like a huge conviction. And then moving on from there, we move into kind of free time in which everybody journaled. Everybody took time to reflect on what they had seen after they had talked with everybody and we'd spurred each other on and heard what God was doing. We'd reflect and write and write and write and write. And I've always wanted to be a journaler, but I always tell myself I'm not. I'm just not that guy that writes, but I did all week just fine. So that leads me to just what my takeaway, my next steps from the trip were, was don't stop. There's so many excuses. There's so many reasons. I'm busy. There's not enough time in the day. You know, there's this, there's that. But there's harder work to be done in Haiti than there is here in terms of physical time-consuming labor. Everything takes time. As we talked about the water, as we talked about just how people walk the streets and it takes an hour to get 20 minutes because the roads are so bad, they have more reason to not have time to engage with God, and yet they do. And we had more reason to not engage with God. Yet every day we chose to make him a priority and to spend the time we needed to hear from him. And so We had a little index card where we wrote down, what are you going to take away? What are you going to bring back home with you? And that was my first one, was just continue to make the choice to make time. Not hopefully do it, but make the choice to make time.
Thanks for sharing. Let me pray for you guys, and I'll share a quick little thing, and then we're going to worship some more. So God, just thank you so much for our experience, what you did in us, what you did through us. Thank you for that time with those kids that we got to interact with. And God, I know you've moved in so many people. You're still speaking, and you still can speak. And so God, I pray for those that maybe are listening for the very first time about Haiti, and maybe you're stirring something in them, the curiosity of what that's like in a week in Haiti. So God, I would just pray for clear next steps as we walk this out, those of us that were on the trip and those of us that are supporting those that were on the trip. So just come. Again, we invite you in as the Holy Spirit. He is active in our lives. Help us to engage him more fully. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give them a round of applause for sharing. Craig had mentioned that note card, and really early in the week, it was evident. I shared this with the group that I didn't know what we were going to do at the end, but my word was any. And I want to share with you just this four verses out of Philippians 2, and then I'll quickly close it up for us. It says this, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but to each of your interests of others. But those first couple of verses, did you catch the if you have any? If you have any. And so, for me, that just speaks that if I have any, that is plenty. God can do plenty with our any. All we have to do is give it. Because some days I'm going to have more encouragement than I do other days. Some days I'm going to be able to offer more love than I do other days. Some days I'm going to have more calming sharing in the Spirit. Some days I'm going to have more tenderness and compassion. But those days that I don't have as much, I have to offer my any in every situation. And God is the gap filler, and he can do plenty with our any. And so that's my challenge to us as a church, is to go out of here. Our next step can be simply that, to do any with our plenty. But grab your Connect cards. I do want to offer you a couple of practical next steps. One is simply get more information about the next trip. We will go back again in 2018. I have a dream of doing a trip a year or a trip a month every year. We're not nearly there, but we just took our largest team. Let's see if we can top that next year. So if you're just interested, just put Haiti on the back of your Connect card. Drop it in the offering when it goes by in a few minutes. We'll follow up with more details as we get them. But it's going to be about $1,500 depending on travel. The airfare is the biggest caveat in that whole equation there. Second one is invite somebody to coffee or lunch that was up here sharing. Crystal, who wasn't here, invite her as well. But if you want to hear more about what God did in them, you certainly didn't get to hear from everybody and you didn't get the full picture, just invite them to a coffee or lunch. It's worth your $10 or $15 to buy them lunch just to hear what God did and stirred in them. And third is just invest in the mission. And so that you can do a couple of ways. You can invest directly into Back to Back, which is the organization. You can invest directly into Jeff and Janice Hickman, who are the missionaries who are from Blue Ash. You can certainly do that. Or you can simply invest in the mission of Blue Ash Community Church. Because our hope is to continue where we give 10% and start to increase that each and every year. We'd love to be 10% locally and 10% globally, but we have to inch our way there. We just can't cut it off and go, hey, we're going to move from 10 to 20 just from a financial standpoint. But invest here. Because we have some goals in 2018 to help invest and impact Haiti a little differently financially than we currently do. So take one of those steps. If you want to hear more about any of those, simply reach out to me. Write it on your Connect card. We will get you the information you need. I can guarantee you that. They're going to go up and take up our offering. I'm going to pray. We are going to go long because I'm not going to let you cut any songs. But by all means, if there's somewhere you got to go for Father's Day, feel free to exit. But I just want to challenge you. The next three songs, 15 or so minutes, open yourself out. Live in the yellow a little bit. Open your arms. Raise your hands. Just ask God. Invite him in to say, God, your Holy Spirit is active in me. I know you'll speak to me. And just watch what happens. Don't let the enemy come in and steal those thoughts. Write them down in your program. Take a note on your phones. And just pray over those and see what God wants to do in you and what God wants to do through you. Let me pray as they take up our offering. God, thank you so much for loving us the way you do. Thank you for being a God that's not predictable, the God that can show up in Haiti just as easily as he can show up right here, right now. And so, God, we say more of you in this moment. Come by the power of your Holy Spirit. Open up our hearts. Wherever our hearts are hard like that soil, like that mountain that we were using jackhammers and pickaxes to just loosen it up, to move some of it. God, start to do that work in our hearts in those areas. God, we fully expect you to move, not because Andy's great or Blue Ash Community Church is great, but because you are. You are the ultimate redeemer. And God, when we offer any part of our heart, you can do plenty with it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.